If confirmed by the U.S. Senate to the vacant slot on the U.S. Supreme Court, Harvard Law graduate Neil Gorsuch will fill just one of over 100 vacant federal judge positions that Donald Trump can now fill. As part of our ongoing series, Mass Impact, The Trump Effect, WBUR's David Boeri reports that Trump's opportunity to reshape the judiciary from the top down follows dozens of candidates dominated by President Obama, who died on the vine in the Republican-controlled Senate.
The latest summary shows that 13% of the country's judgeships are empty seats waiting to be filled. That means President Trump begins his term with the opportunity to pick 107 judges for lifetime appointments to U.S. district and circuit courts. It's an extraordinary number, and it's the product of extraordinary action, or more to the point, extraordinary inaction by the Republican-controlled Senate that failed to act on 51 judicial nominations by President Obama before he left office.
What happened during the Obama years just continued what I think people see as a downward spiral. And as you can see, it's not on the merits, it's just sheer obstruction.
Carl Tobias teaches law at the University of Richmond. He studies judicial selection and has followed the ordeal of one prominent local attorney who Obama nominated to fill a vacancy at the Federal District Court here in Boston. Her name is Inga Bernstein. She has been warmly praised by the advisory committee that recommended her to the state's U.S. senators, who in turn recommended her to the president.
Really, really, really bright, you know, a 10 on the scale of brightness.
Attorney Pamela Berman served on that advisory committee. Retired federal judge Nancy Gertner was the chairwoman.
She is someone who had, you know, in-depth experience both on the civil side and on the criminal side, trials and appeals. She was as well qualified for the position as anyone has ever been.
At the end of July 2015, Bernstein was nominated by President Obama, who praised her unwavering commitment to justice and integrity. She had plenty of time, it seemed, to clear the Senate Judiciary Committee and to win a vote on the floor of the full Senate. But already, the wheels in that Republican-controlled Senate were slowing. Pamela Berman.
We knew that we had to act very quickly because there would be a point in Obama's administration where judicial nominees would no longer get through.
But from that summer, it took all the way until the following spring before Bernstein got a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Again, Professor Carl Tobias.
It was the last 2 years of the Obama administration, and the Republican majority was not in a hurry to confirm more of his nominees.
The problem for Bernstein appears to have had nothing to do with ideology. When it comes to evaluating nominees to district courts, which are the trial courts, Tobias says the committee generally turns to the practical consideration. Can the nominee handle the caseload and keep the cases moving to resolution? Ideology tends to become an issue when the committee evaluates nominees for the circuit courts, which are the appeals courts. At Inga Bernstein's hearing, the questions were softballs, like Texas Senator Ted Cruz is asking, "What's your favorite Supreme Court decision in the last 10 years?" A month after her hearing, at the end of May, the Judiciary Committee easily approved of Bernstein. She sailed through.
That's correct. Very little opposition, very little controversy, not much discussion, and then the vote. And so she went to the Senate floor with many others.
All she and some 22 other nominees who also had sailed through needed now was a vote by the full Senate to confirm them. But nothing happened. Meanwhile, another 28 Obama nominees were still back at the Judiciary Committee waiting for hearings or approval. And there was another nominee who was the biggest one of all.
Merrick Garland for the Supreme Court did not even receive a hearing.
They all sat, and they sat, and they sat. And with caseloads for sitting judges rising dramatically, the government has declared 42 vacant seats to be judicial emergencies. In Buffalo, In the Federal District of Western New York, for instance, it takes an average of 5 years to secure a trial date in civil cases. Cases that may involve Social Security appeals, immigration, or employment law or patents, where justice delayed is justice denied. In district courts closer to home, there is one judicial vacancy in Rhode Island, one in Maine, and one in Boston. Retired Judge Nancy Gertner.
It says that the system is broken. It's one thing to talk about holding up nominations, you know, on the eve of an election. That doesn't explain Inga Bernstein's situation. This is a preposterous way to deal with a very, very weighty and important office.
One tradition of the Senate, says Carl Tobias, has been to give an up or down vote to every judicial nominee who's been approved by the Judiciary Committee with little or no opposition. But that did not happen in the case of Inga Bernstein or the other district court nominees.
In all that time, we kept thinking, it's going to happen. It's got to happen,
says Pamela Berman.
I thought, if she can just get through the process, because she's just so inherently qualified, it will be obvious.
But in fact, the door had already closed. Obama's last nominee to be confirmed passed the Senate on July 6th. There would be no vote on Inga Bernstein or 22 others approved by the Judiciary Committee. Over the next 6 months, their nominations died on the Senate floor, and 28 nominees died on the vine without ever getting out of committee. According to the rules, on January 3rd, the Senate returned all 51 nominations back to the White House, where Donald Trump now gets to make 107 picks for lifetime judgeships.
One phenomenon that we see is payback. So now it seems that Democrats may be willing to or want to or feel they're forced to engage in payback, given what Republicans did to President Obama's nominees.
Democrats in this Senate certainly don't have the power the Republicans have had. And with a Republican Senate, this president has more power than the last president. As for the courts, Tobias says he's cautiously optimistic about the future, while recognizing that history does not bear him out. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.